Thank you, John.
Praise God, those are such good reports. I love hearing that. I love hearing it. I love seeing how God intervenes, how God moves when we pray. So thank you for sharing that. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for every person that's on this line, every person that will listen to this later. I just lift them up to you, Lord God. Even now, we come before you collectively to seek your face and learn from your word. We see, Lord God, what you're doing in this nation through our prayers. We see, Lord God, the work you're doing in and through us. Through our prayers, we see, Lord God, the refining that you're doing in our lives this year. Oh, Father God, the refining has been, it's been difficult. It's been beautiful. It's been intimate. It's been precious for those that lay themselves down and allow you to have your way. Oh, Lord God, what you're doing is so beautiful. I just pray that as we come before you now for these next few minutes, that you would open up our hearts to receive of your word. Open up our hearts to receive the message that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the depth of your love. I thank you. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. This year is the year of refining. And I say that every Thursday night. I say it, I teach the staff, and we're going through the book of Ephesians right now, and I say it every week, because the truth is, this is the year of refining, and we need to understand what that means and how that applies to each of our lives and what we need to do to be ready to be among the new breed of believers that are going to be released through this process. This is a difficult process. To be refined is a difficult, painful, agonizing, precious, beautiful, intimate, most glorious process that you can go through. To be selected to be among those refined, what an honor. Because that means he has called you. He's called you. He's chosen you. He's predestinated you to carry something. This isn't a basic salvation, although I do want to talk about the work of the cross, because the work of the cross is crucial. Us understanding the work of the cross is crucial to being refined by the Lord. Understanding the beauty of the work of the cross is crucial to us understanding what it means to walk in the deeper places with God. You see, he's calling us into a place that very few feel like they have permission to go. I was talking with the staff this morning, and I will tell you, that teaching will be on the website by probably Monday. And the Lord began to release during that time together where he's calling us, and he's calling us into union. That's where he's calling us. Those going through the refining process are being called into a place of union. It is something he is longing for with his children. And the Lord began to reveal things while I was teaching. And even when I start our calls here and I say, Lord, just open up our spirits to receive of your word, is because he gives me things to study and he wants me ready. And then he brings me here and he begins to unleash things. And he teaches me while I teach. He opens up the nuggets of his word, and he brings forth a revelation that takes place. Sometimes the revelation comes before, and sometimes it doesn't. But the reality of it is, we are learning this process together. It's a beautiful process to walk this journey together. Because you're not alone. You're not alone. Not only are we walking with you, but most importantly, your Lord Jesus Christ is carrying you through this. He started the process, you know, when he came and he walked this earth and he died on the cross. And when we say it like that, it seems like it's a very, you know, a very almost benign act. But the truth is, the work of the cross, what he did on the cross, was a deep, deep work that allowed us to enter into freedom, to break away from the chains of sin and really enter into the freedom that walking in Christ grants us. And we don't take advantage of that. And I don't mean advantage in a very loose term. I mean we don't take advantage of what it means to walk in the freedom of the cross. You see, we are saved by grace. It's not of yourselves. It's not by works. We are not saved by anything we can do except bow the knee. That's all we can do. There's freedom in that, you know. There's freedom. There's freedom in knowing that you can't earn your way into heaven. It's a beautiful thing. But if you want anything deeper than that, if you want to have relationship with him. You see, the work of the cross is to bring us into relationship with our God. It's to bring us into intimacy with him. That was the purpose of the cross. It brought us into intimacy with our God, into the Holy of Holies with our God. And if you want that place, that's where the work comes in. That's where we have to set aside the things of the world. That's where we have to set aside the ways of the flesh. That's where we have to set aside the me mentality. And we need to focus on God. We need to focus on his will for our lives, what he desires for our lives. It doesn't matter if you have a full-time job, if it doesn't matter if you have a full-time and a half job out there. You can still have intimacy with your God because he sent his son that you might enter into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. You see, the Holy of Holies is a special place reserved only for the high priest to enter. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and he would take the sacrifice and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. That was a place of intimacy. And the high priest had to go through quite a lot of cleansing and purification before he could enter in there because the holiness of God resided in the Holy of Holies. The holiness of God resided in the Holy of Holies. You could walk in there and you would feel the presence of God. It would be thick, thick. And a high priest could not go in there having sin in his life. He could not go in there being defiled. There were many steps that he would have to engage in order to enter there and not drop dead. They had bells on his gown. They had a rope tied around his ankle. And if those bells stopped ringing, they pulled him out. Because I can promise you, if that high priest couldn't stay in there, nobody else could. And nobody was going in there after him. They would have to drag him out by the ankle. It was a holy place. But when Jesus died on the cross, and when he said, "It is finished," that veil that hung between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom. That was a fabric, very thick fabric. It could not be torn. It was done in such a way as to protect the people from the presence of God. It was thick, made of one piece, and that veil tore from top to bottom. And God was saying, come into my presence. You can come in through the blood of my son. Now you say, I already know this, Ricky. I've already heard this. And this is, of course, it's beautiful, and it's always wonderful to hear it again. And it pierces our heart. It pierces my heart every time I talk about it, because I think about what Jesus did on that cross and what happened literally in the temple that day when that veil was torn. I can imagine everyone in the temple, and they were probably just absolutely terrified. Terrified because they knew the law and they knew what would happen if they were in the presence of God. But the work of the cross, it brought down his grace. And when we bow the knee, when we stand before God, Jesus is there, and he says, my grace is over them. My grace. My grace. When we sin and we repent, he says, my grace is there, and it covers us. I had a vision of Jesus. I was standing there, and I was considering my sins, and Jesus was standing next to me, and I thought about the accountability before God. And I was confessing my sins, and I, with fear and trepidation, I was standing here. It was a very unusual experience. And I thought, I've been saved a long time. Why am I feeling this? Why am I experiencing this? But see, Jesus came and he stood next to me, and his hand went down in front of me, and he said, my grace. Every sin, my grace. His hand just went down in front of me, covering me with his grace. Covering me with his grace. And this was not too long ago. This was a really beautiful, a very intimate moment where I began to see something in the work of the cross. It is a continuous work. A continuous work of the cross. A continuous call to us to step up to our Lord and receive of his grace. By grace are we saved through faith, that not of works. By grace are we saved through faith. Titus 3:4 says, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. By grace are we saved. Do we consider the grace that's been extended to us? Do we really consider how it covers us? If a high priest could spend between the Day of Atonement, it was a year, he would spend a year in preparation for the next Day of Atonement. He had to be very careful, but that was his commission. If he could go in there compromised and fall to his death, having to be dragged out by the Levites from the Holy of Holies, consider for a moment what those of us who sin unknowingly. I mean, he would have to repent of sins he did, sins he didn't know. There was an external cleansing process. It was a big deal. But here we are. We bow the knee. And instantly Jesus comes by grace. My grace. And when I thought about that and I experienced, I had that vision and I experienced experienced it, and it was a lengthy experience. It's still very, very real in my heart right now as I share it with you. As I had that, I thought about the work of the cross. I thought how God sent his son for me. Why? So he could have relationship with me. Relationship, intimacy. I could pray to him and he would hear my prayers. I could cry out to him and he would answer me. I thought about the beauty of the cross. And I shared this a few weeks ago. The Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus, he almost died playing Jesus in the Passion. He actually had to have heart surgery after he was done filming the movie. He hung up there during the filming of the movie, and they were his doctors. His team of doctors were telling him to stop filming the movie because he would die. And as he hung upon that cross, the gravity of what Jesus did for him, if he is just an actor experiencing this, playing this part, and he is literally being told by doctors that the strain of this movie could kill him, he considered what Jesus did for him. And as he hung there on that cross, Jim said, "If I die, I die. How many more will hear the gospel if I die? If I could possibly have the honor, the privilege of being a martyr so that this message gets out, so be it." It was an honor. And I thought about him, and I thought about the work he did in the movie. And I thought, he went through a refining of his flesh. He had to go through a refining of his heart as he played the character of Jesus. He had to go through a refining. You see, Jesus did this for us. Who are we not to, in return, choose to live our lives walking in the Spirit? Paul talks about this all the time. Put off the flesh, put on Christ. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. And we've been talking about that as we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and that is something that you cannot do in and of yourself. You must have the Holy Spirit within you to give you the ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. It is a product of the Spirit dwelling within. A product of the Spirit dwelling within you. And the more we pray, the more we read his word, the more we press into his word, hit time with him, the stronger the Spirit resides within us. So more and more of your flesh gets broken away, falls away, as you put off the old man and put on the new man. You put off the flesh and you put on Christ. You stop walking in the flesh and you walk in the Spirit. All of those phrases can be used in this process. What did Paul say in Galatians? In Galatians 5, he says, I say then, 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There is a war going on for you. A war. Even when you get saved, there is a war going on for your soul. There is a war happening in your spirit and your flesh. If you feel tired all the time, consider what you're doing. Is your spirit warring against your flesh? I'm not pointing a finger. I'm actually suggesting something I've done myself. Is my spirit warring against my flesh? Are there things my flesh needs to stop engaging in? Is it standing in the way of my growth? The more you feed the spirit, the weaker the flesh becomes in that battle. The stronger you'll become. You see, he wants to fill you up. Fill you up. He wants you to walk in the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The new breed of believers will be able to walk according to the Spirit. That word according to, and you can see this word throughout Ephesians. It's one of the key words, to be honest with you, in Ephesians. The word according to means that which is above coming down. So what God has created, what God desires, coming down. Like thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will, his plans, his purposes coming down into you and being fulfilled in and through your life. If Christians would really take a stand and realize the power and the authority that they can walk in, we would effectively change the world. And that is what Joel's army is about. Us growing in God, the impartation of his spirit in such a powerful way, we don't fulfill our will, we fulfill his will in the earth. And we are literally transforming the earth. That's what Joel's army is called to do. We are created to push back darkness and bring the wall of righteousness across our nations. That's the power and the authority that we've been created to walk in. Paul wrote, the majority of the New Testament. Paul wrote that. He walked in an authority that was so great, so powerful, so intense. Ephesians tells us that aprons and handkerchiefs could be taken from him, his body, to a person, and they would be healed. They would be delivered. They would be raised from the dead. That's the power and the authority that he walked in this earth. Do you know that's what God is calling us to walk in? That's what God is calling us in this hour, the new breed of believers to walk in. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to put off the flesh and put on Christ. We're going to have to set aside the ways of the flesh and put within us the ways of the Spirit. If we want to walk in the authority and the power of God and really affect change, I'm talking really affect change. We've got to remember the work of the cross. Remember what our Lord did for us. Come into a place where we learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Paul says, I die daily. He wrote over half the New Testament. He walked in the power and the authority of God. He almost died serving him many times over. But the Spirit in him, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit within him was so great. Aprons, handkerchiefs could carry his anointing. Just the droppings of his anointing. Do you see what I'm saying? The residue of his anointing was so great, it could raise the dead. Paul was a man who walked in union. And he was created to bring people into intimacy with God, to bring them into the Holy of Holies where they would reside. Union with God. The work of 2018 is preparing us. Preparing us to be taken in those levels. It's a fast work. It's a hard work. I can tell you, ever since the Lord told me 2018 was going to be the year of refining, that was in 2017, my life completely changed. I felt pressure from within and from without, and I had to come to a place where I just prayed in the Spirit day in and day out. I was in the Word. I was praying in the Spirit because I didn't know if I could survive it. Have you ever felt like if you couldn't hold on to God, you couldn't hold on at all? I thought, I didn't know what I was getting into. Why do you tell me this, Lord? Those were just a few moments of weakness. But I bow the knee because I believe the work he's doing in us is pushing back the darkness. Pushing back the darkness, the enemy of our souls. It's going to push back the darkness off of our youth. It's going to push back the darkness that is stealing the lives of our loved ones. It's going to transform nations. It's going to free children from human trafficking. It's going to bring Muslims and radical Islamic people to Christ because they're going to see the power and the authority of the living God. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than one person. This is about bringing forth the presence of God in this earth, and it takes all of us. Galatians 5:17. What does the flesh do? It lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Like I said, a war is happening, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. The root word of fornication is pornography. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things, and that means those that practice them, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you can tell, I can tell you, this stuff is running rampant in our nation. Rampant. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is the product of the Spirit working in us, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They that are in Christ have crucified the flesh. The work of the cross. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We must learn to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And the only way to do that is to continue to press in, nurturing the Spirit of God within, nurturing your spirit. Die daily. It is a process. It is a process. But what it leads to, as you go along this path, you will feel the presence of God. You will experience things in God you didn't think possible. You will understand the Word of God like you didn't think possible. If you will submit your flesh to the work of the cross, His Spirit can rise up within you and give you the strength that you need, regardless of the circumstances. There is a fire coming. There is a fire coming. I know that there's been times we've been in the gatherings and the worship is so beautiful. It is so intense. It is so powerful. You feel like you can step right into the throne room of God. That's where He wants us to reside, to abide. Abide in Him. Embrace the work of the cross. Embrace this refining. Embrace it. Really bow the knee and embrace it. Because the grace is here to do it. This year, this is the grace period. This is the grace period. Where He will help you through the obstacles. He will help you press in. He will help bring you to that place in Him. He will do it. He will help you get over the hurdle. There is a supernatural grace that has been extended for this. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, oh, Heavenly Father, help us to bow the knee. Help us to see the beauty of what you're doing in our lives. Let it give us strength to press through the trials, the struggles, the work of the cross in our own lives. Help our unbelief, even, that we could be counted among those chosen to walk in the authority of God that's to be released in this earth. Help our unbelief, Lord God. For every person who is on here, Lord God, let them see that you have created them to walk in union with you. Union. What a level of intimacy. Help us to see how much you crave that with us. You have done everything, made it possible for us to actually enter into union with you. Something that you want for your children so deeply, you hunger for it. Help us to see it, Lord God. Help us to understand it. Help us to experience it. Help us to hold on to that. To pull us through the struggle. The experiences, Lord God, the work of the refining. The hands that you give each person, Lord God, give them. Give them an experience in you. Let them experience you and what you want to do in their lives. Let them experience what it means to step into the throne room of God, into the unrestricted, unhindered presence of God. Let them hear your cry for this place. Let them hear your cry for them to enter this place. That it would ignite something within us. And we would hunger and thirst for you like you hunger and thirst for us. Do your work in us. Do your work. Do your work and have your way. Give us the strength to lay down everything that is not of you and embrace the work of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in your body. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. Thank you, John.